Okay, let's get learning. So a lot of us, if not all of us, have not been in synagogue, so we might not have noticed that last week we finished the book of Bamidbar, and this week we're entering the book of Devarim. And Devarim is a very interesting book. It's kind of framed as Moshe's valediction, right? Moshe's last speech before the people move on into the land of Israel, and he is still stuck on the other side of the Jordan. And there's a lot of, you know, talk about the significance of the mitzvot, and you know, he tries to force people to kind of rededicate themselves to keeping the mitzvot and following God's Torah, because he knows that he's not going to be around, right, to help that happen. And there's a kind of classic rabbinic idea, which is that we basically have two verbs we use for speaking. Lemor, to speak, or really more accurately, we might translate it as to say, and lidaber, which is to speak. Right, you can even, for those of you who are grammatical, I don't want to say nerds, let's just say people who are very interested in grammar, right, you might even notice, right, that Aleph Mem Resh, Amar, is in the Kal, is in the sort of less emphatic case, and Lidaber is in Piel, right, so even the grammatical element is more forceful in the word Lidaber, and probably, you know, if we were to try to kind of map it on to terms that we use, right? If I say, hey, you know, do you have time later this afternoon to chat? Do you have time later this afternoon to catch up? Your assumption is that we are going to just be shooting the breeze and you're not going to be nervous about this conversation. But if I say, do you have time later? Because I really need to speak with you, right? When I use the language of speak, right, that already hints to you that you have something to be nervous about. And so the rabbis just assume that unless they know otherwise, whenever there's divarim, whenever there are words, right, when they're speaking, right, there's some element of this is a difficult conversation. So the rabbis have this kind of way of looking at the entire book of Devarim as being a type of tochecha, a type of rebuke that Moshe is delivering to the people. This is not Moshe being soft and fuzzy. This is Moshe being very serious and giving people also negative, right, feedback, things that they really need to know, things that they really need to hear. And so there's a lot of different commentaries that talk about, you know, is Moshe being very harsh here? And is that positive? Or Rashi has this understanding that Rashi is actually being very vague, sorry, that Moshe is being very vague, being very sensitive, and he thinks that that's positive. But I wanted to focus on a few midrashim that kind of highlight what I think is like a very different element of the whole conversation, which is not really the tone of the rebuke itself, but rather a little bit who it comes from, but maybe even more what it encompasses. By which I mean, I think that if there are people in our lives who we have interactions with and they only say negative things to us, right, that's one type of relationship. And if we have people in our lives who we have the full range, right, of conversations and the full range of interactions with, right, then when they have something negative that they want to deliver to us, right, we have a different way of interacting with them and we have a different way of interacting with what they say. Right, so there's a lot of conversation that's about, you know, what's a gentle way to deliver rebuke and, you know, when should you or when should you not deliver rebuke. These midrashim are taking us in a slightly different direction to talk about a little bit about who the person is who's delivering the rebuke, which I think is the midrash's shorthand way of saying, what's the relationship between the person who is speaking and the person who has to receive this feedback? And what else do these conversations include, right? Is it just the rebuke or is there also some positive softening element? For those of you who are in, you know, managerial roles and have been trained to be, you know, managers or mentors, right? You might've heard this idea of a compliment sandwich, right? That if you need to give someone some difficult feedback, it's always nice to package it with something positive at the beginning and something positive at the end, right? So if I wanted to tell you, you're always late to work and you need to start coming on time, I would start the conversation with, I really value your work and every minute that you spend here is value added to our company. And then I would say, therefore, it's become somewhat concerning to me, you know, that I've noticed that you always come a half an hour late to work. And then I would finish and I really appreciate that you have taken this time and taken this conversation seriously. I'm looking forward to working together positively in the future, right? Compliment sandwich, as opposed to you're late, can you stop being late? Right, which is a very different way of delivering feedback, even though the content, right, is exactly the same. You got to start coming on time or else, right? And the relationship hasn't changed, right? I'm still your boss and you're still my employee, but there's something different about the way that the feedback is packaged that we think will also affect the way that the feedback is going to be received. So we're going to see some elements of that also coming up in the sources that we are going to see. Bachi already chatted out the link to the source sheet 3 times for folks who are filing in. Thank you, Bachi. I'm also going to share my screen, so hopefully everybody should have access to the sources. Okay, here we go. So we're starting with Dvarim Rabba. Eila ha-dvarim, these are the words. Right, and probably if we wanted to translate it the way that the Midrash is hearing this term, we would say these are the speakings, right, that Moshe spoke to all of Israel. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Hanina said, it was fitting for the rebukes to be from Bilam's mouth and the blessings from Moshe's mouth. But so this is another Midrashic trope where we contrast these two great prophets, Bilam and Moshe, and we're saying, well, Bilam's a really negative person who hates us, so probably he should be the one who's yelling at us. And Moshe, who loves us and cares for us, it seems like he should be the one who should be blessing us. But, right, we know that it's the opposite. Bilam has, you know, cascades and cascades of blessings, and here we have Moshe saying, Eila ha-dvarim. But, so the Midrash continues, but had Bilam rebuked Israel, they would have said, the one who hates us is rebuking us. Meaning, Bilam isn't saying what he's saying to us because he has a legitimate thing that he's noticed that he's taking us to task for. He doesn't like us. So of course he's going to be saying something negative, right? And if Moshe would have blessed them, then the other nations would have said, oh, the one who loves them is blessing them, right? Of course your mother loves that art project. Right. So if your mother tells you that art project is beautiful, nobody's really going to take that as a 5-star art project until an art critic says, actually, what you produce is really beautiful. So the Holy Blessed One said, let Moshe, who loves them, rebuke them, and Bilam, who hates them, bless them, so that the blessings and rebukes will be clear in the hands of Israel. Right. So there's something about when something difficult comes from someone who you trust is invested in you in a positive way, right, then you're able to listen to it, right? And also, this is not our focus, right, but it also happens to be true, right, that when you get a compliment from someone who is much more likely to criticize you, there's a way in which it's worth a little bit more, okay? And so, and the contrast here between blessing and rebuking is one that we're going to tease out a little bit more, because I think it's very interesting to think about, but we don't often think about what the opposite is of rebuke, right? And I might have thought that the opposite of rebuking is a compliment, right? But when we say that the opposite of rebuke is a blessing, right? A blessing generally is a sense of, I want good things to come to you, or this good thing that you are doing, it should continue. Right, and so there's something I think like very nice about the element of blessing that is a reflection of what you're already doing or who you already are, right? It's nice to see that as the opposite of rebuke, because a rebuke is telling you the way that you're behaving, the way that you are, it needs to stop. And a blessing is saying that who you are and how you are is actually really positive, and all I can say to you, right, is that it continue. And in some ways, right, that's the deepest, most beautiful blessing. Because a blessing that says, you know, you're really great, but you could be greater, right? Is actually a type of rebuke, right? Because it's implying something negative about you. But a blessing is actually so, it's so sweet in saying, all I could say about you is you should continue, right? You should continue doing the good things that you're doing, continue being the good person that you are. And I, like, this isn't really our focus, but I'm excited, you know, that I have the platform to say this, right? I think that there's something really significant here in the way that we give people compliments, right? I'm sure we've all been on the receiving hand of backhand compliments, which are really insults, right? And so a blessing, right, that is actually a request from someone to modify something, right, or a suggestion that they would be better if that thing was modified, maybe that's not a blessing. But maybe that's a curse. And we should think when we're trying to say something positive, is what we're saying entirely positive? Okay, that's a little bit of a side note, but since we're talking about rebuke and blessing, I think it's a relevant thing to contribute. Okay, so let's move on to the next midrash. Eile hadvarim, right? So this is another midrash on the same words. These are the words, these are the speaking to. This is as the verse says. One who rebukes a person after me, that is after God, will find more favor than one who is slick of tongue. Okay, so here, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, right? The text is contrasting someone who says the unpleasant things, the rebuker, and the person who is the flatterer, right? And here, the Proverbs is saying, we know that the person who is a flatterer is more popular. Right, but the person who is the mochiach, the person who is a rebuker, will ultimately find more favor. And so the rebuker here is Moshe. Chen nimsa, the one who will find favor, that is Moshe. As it says, you have also found favor in my eyes. Then one who is slick in tongue, right, the sort of opposite, the flatterer, Zeb Bilam, that's Bilam, who was slick in his prophecies, and he inflated their hearts, and they fell in cheating. Okay, and so here, the Midrash is a very interesting perspective on what Bilam's blessings, right, actually did. What Bilam's blessings actually did, according to this Midrash, was inflate the sense of self of the Jews, maybe in a way that was not really merited, okay? And then, their hearts were inflated, right? We would translate that as their egos were inflated. And then pride comes before a fall. And then they ended up being defeated in Chittim. Okay, so Dvarim Rabbah, this version of Dvarim Rabbah, right, has a different way of understanding the contrast between Moshe and Bilam. You're saying, well, Moshe says seems negative, but actually it's going to set you up for success. And what Bilam said seemed positive, but actually what it's doing is it's inflating your ego and it's making you unaware, right, of the danger that is around you, and then you are going to end up falling. Okay, so here's another way of, you know, understanding, right, what a rebuke is, right? A rebuke is helpful, right? When we talk about feedback and constructive feedback, we mean it, right? And there's a way in which at least according to this version of the Midrash, right, Moshe is the consummate teacher here in his being willing to deliver rebuke, even though it makes him seem unpopular, it makes him not liked. He's willing to take that hit in order for the growth and the well-being of the Jewish people. Okay. And now we're going to look at Psikta Rav Kahana, which is going all the way to the end of the book of Devarim. Which the book of Devarim starts with Parashat Devarim, which is, you know, seems like it's a lot of yelling and a lot of exhorting. And then the end of the book is Vizoha Bracha. And this is the bracha. This is the blessing that Moshe gave. And I think what the Midrash is picking up here is the Vav. Right, the vav, the and, this is the bracha, implies that there's some continuation from something that happened before. And a particular Rav Kahana says, well, yeah, compliment sandwich, right? So if Moshe starts by saying something negative to the people, we know because he loves us that there is going to be a blessing at the end, But there's no way that the last words that Moshe is going to say to us is, you guys have a lot you need to work on, and then walk away. Okay? So, v'zot ha'bracha, they, that is the blessings, v'kivushehen, and their sweet words. But the word kivushim is very hard to translate. But essentially, the best way to translate it is a kind of a phrase, which is something that makes you feel all warm and mushy inside. Okay, those are divrei kivushim. Because he, that is Moshe, antagonized them at the beginning of the book, when it says these are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel, therefore he goes back and blesses them at its conclusion. Okay, so now we have this image of, there actually isn't this really clear dichotomy between the person who delivers the rebuke and the person who delivers the blessing. Because if you're going to deliver rebuke and you're someone who actually cares about and is invested in the person who you're talking to, of course it's going to be followed by these words of blessing, these words of encouragement, these words of love, these words of sweetness, right? The way that I would put it is, if you are someone who is in a position to rebuke someone, by definition, you have to be a person who also is in a position to deliver them blessing, right? And so the way that I might think about it is, if you know someone well enough to know their strengths and know their weaknesses, then you're in a position to talk to them about their weaknesses, because you see them as a whole person and you have a real relationship with them. If you can only see that person's flaws, it doesn't mean that your assessment is incorrect, right? But what it means is you don't have a strong enough relationship with them, because there's nobody who's entirely negative. And if you need that feedback to be delivered, great. You tell someone who has a relationship with them, here's what this person needs to hear. If you're not in a position to deliver the blessing, you're also not the person to deliver the rebuke. Okay, so this midrash in Pesikta Rav Kahan, I think, actually is very far from where we started with, well, you get the rebukes from this guy and you get the blessings from that guy. And you only can trust the rebuke if it comes from the blessing guy, and you can only trust the blessing if it comes from the rebuke guy. Here we're saying it has to be both, right? The blessings don't really, they have to come, right, as part of this larger package. Okay, and we're going to see one more midrash that talks about the relationship between a rebuking that you deliver and the kind of larger relationship, the larger context. And so here we have an Abraham rebuked Abimelech. So this is one of the, I wouldn't say it's my favorite story in Tanakh, where, Abraham has to go down to Gerar, and he's anxious that someone's going to take his wife, particularly the leadership there. So he says, why don't you say that you're my sister? Right. We don't know how true or not true that is, but it seems like that information is enough to make Abimelech think that Sarah is available to him. Turns out Sarah's not available, right? Turns out she's married to Abraham. And then there's this whole plague that hits Abimelech's house. And then Abraham, on the way out, rebukes Abimelech. Okay, Abimelech also had some words for Abraham, right? And the Midrash is, I would say, like, a little bit annoyed, right, that Abraham delivers these words on his way out, right? It seems like, well, at the very least, you could say we both did something wrong, right? And there doesn't seem to be any equivalent pasuk where it's like, Abraham apologized to Abimelech, or Abraham and Abimelech had a conversation where they both understood where the other was coming from, right? That doesn't happen. What does happen is that Abraham rebukes Abimelech right before the door closes behind him. And so the rabbis try to understand, why is Abraham doing this, right? This is not nice, or even if it is nice, it's not strategic, right? Stop it. It happens to be that the rebuking of Abimelech is not really, according to most understandings, like, about the Sarah issue. A lot of people say that it's about the wells, that Abimelech's servants were stealing wells. But anyway, it's not a good look. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, rebuke brings love. As it says, rebuke the wise and he will love you. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, by which we mean to say this is consistent with his general approach, who said that any love that does not have rebuke with it is not love. Okay, so the previous Midrash said, any rebuke that doesn't have a bracha at the end is not really good rebuke. This says, well, actually, any love that doesn't have rebuke in it is not love. And I'm going to explain to you what I think he means by this, but definitely open to interpretation. And then Reish Lakish continues, and instead of love, he starts to talk about peace. Reish Lakish said, rebuke brings about peace. And Abraham rebuked Avimelech. This is his opinion, right? This is consistent. This is Reish Lakish's general approach. As he said, all peace that does not have rebuke within it is not peace. So the last thing that I want to say before I turn this over to you is that I think that part of the way that I read Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is about the depth and the sort of realness of relationships. Right? If you have a relationship where there's never anything, to use a euphemism, right, real that happens, there's never any tough conversation, it's not real love, right? I think that's what we would say, right? If you don't feel comfortable sharing your feelings with this person, if they hurt your feelings, you don't trust them enough to listen to you, if you feel hurt by them, that's not love, okay? So that seems to be what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is saying. That is a pleasant, joining of folks, but that's not real love, right? Love is sometimes hard. And if you're really invested in the relationship and you're really invested with the growth of the person who you're in relationship with, right? And this spans the gamut, parent, child, partner, friend, colleague, student, right? There's all sorts of dynamics here. If you don't care enough about them to have those difficult conversations, to be willing to confront them, maybe you need to evaluate how much you really care about them, right? Maybe that's a sign that the relationship isn't very deep and the relationship isn't very real. And I think what Reish Lakish is saying, which is, slightly different, because since he's talking about peace, but he's not talking about love, but it seems that Reish Lakish is saying, if you don't work out your conflicts and you're just avoiding each other, that's not peace, okay? Peace is, we're in this together. There's a give and take. We both understand what the risks are. We both understand what the sacrifices are. That's peace. When we've both had a conversation and we've come to an agreement, that's peace. When both of us are upset and neither of us is willing to raise it with the other one, and we are not actively fighting with each other, that's not peace, right? That's, I'm on my planet and you're on your planet, and I'm hoping that our planets don't collide. So to just summarize what we've come to, and then I have a question for all of you, is it seems that there's this really tight relationship between love, blessing, and peace, and rebuke. And part of where that overlap comes has to do with relationship, right? And there's a kind of, people have a cynicism towards the compliment sandwich, right? Because you're kind of dancing around the issue. But my view of it is that it's a reflection of really knowing someone in their strengths and their weaknesses. Where you can successfully do a convincing compliment sandwich, and you can feel the sentiment behind, I do appreciate your work, and there are things that need to be improved, right? That's a real conversation, and that's a rebuke that can happen and also needs to happen, right? And Moshe seems to be, right, since he's been with the people, for their entire life as a people, right? He is the person who knows best, right, what the people's strengths are and what the people's weaknesses are. And that's why he's the right person to deliver them the rebuke, because he loves them, because he knows them, because he cares about them, and because they know that about him. And we know from the text of the Torah, we know from a lot of Midrashim, that the people didn't always appreciate that. Moshe was not really a truly beloved figure. by the people. But deep down, right, they recognize that, right? In Jewish history and you know, Jewish people for millennia afterwards, right, have recognized that and have thought of Moshe and seen Moshe in that light of he knows us in our good and our bad, and you know, he suffered at our hands, but like there was a real relationship there. There was real care there. Okay. So I guess my question for you is, unless you know people have just comments that they want to make about the material, which is also more than welcome, is what are the other elements, right, that are necessary for a successful rebuke, right? What beyond the relationship or the ability to say something positive, right, is a really important element to delivering rebuke that is going to be loving and also successful? Okay, so we're going to open up the chat now. Okay, so Matt says there's a lot going on here that is like a therapeutic relationship, right, where there's so much of what the therapist is able to say is based on the relationship that they have. And Francine says trust, which I think actually dovetails nicely, right? The core thing in a relationship between a therapist and a client is not really love. That's not appropriate. It's trust. Good. Okay, so Sharon says there needs to be objectivity. Which is hard with love. That is very, very true. I think objectivity is always hard, right? But I think it becomes harder when you have a relationship with someone. Humility, beautiful. Specificity, aha, good. Right, so Bachi says it's not just about, you don't want to make blanket categorical statements about who somebody is as a person. You want to be able to say it's this action or it's this characteristic, right, that we really need to work on so that people understand it's not a takedown of them, right? It's really a working together to try to fix something specific. Okay, good. So Carla says, willingness for rebuke, critique to go both ways, right? That's a big one. Good. That's totally not an element of what's going on in these midrashim, but it's definitely an element of what goes on in real life, right? If my intention in having a conversation with you, which is to tell you what I think and how wrong I think you are, there's a good chance that that conversation won't be as productive as it would have been if I was willing to really explore all of the contributing factors, including my own responsibility. Good. Shared goals, beautiful. Caring enough to work on it. Okay, good. And Betsy, I would add, right, that's both ways, right? If I'm your supervisor and I notice that you're coming late, I need to be willing to hear why you're coming late. And I might need to be willing to make accommodations for you so that you can come to work on time or maybe have your hours be more flexible. Right? If I'm really serious that I'm upset about the lateness because you do good work, I need to be able to work with you on that. Okay, good. So Naomi's bringing up parents and children can be really difficult. You know, and she said, it seems like that's a situation where it might be one way. And I think that that's also, that's age specific, right? It's not really appropriate for a five-year-old to talk back to their parents. The chances that the five-year-old knows better are pretty slim, right? But a 25-year-old, right, they might be able to have a conversation with their parents that talks about the way the relationship has developed over the years and can be done in a respectful and loving way, but definitely much, much, much more difficult when you're talking about parents and children, because you're always your parents' children, right? They're always going to think of themselves as your teachers, and it's hard to flip the script. Okay, beautiful. So we are going to pause here, and we will continue with our conversations about this parasha when we pick up on Thursday. Hope everybody has a